I have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now, Jesus said on the night before he died to his disciples and to us. Which is worth thinking about, that not all his words are contained in the scriptures and the stories that we learned in Sunday school, but that Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, continues to have things to say. Not here in the flesh. No, he is not. But don't be fooled. He will continue to speak to us and continue to show up in our lives and continue to call and continue to point out the ministries, the forms of service, the love we are to share with our neighbor. It was this line in this morning's gospel that grabbed me this past week. But within that line, there was a particular word that I want to reflect on with you for just a few minutes, and that word is bear. I have many things to say, but you cannot bear them now. And that particular word caught my attention because when that word appears elsewhere in the scriptures, it's actually a word that seems to get connected to forms of stress or burdens. In fact, in Luke's gospel, it's used of carrying a dead body. And later on in John's gospel, Jesus' own body is borne from the cross into a tomb wrapped in a shroud. His word is something that we must bear. But how is that when burdens are something that we bear and sufferings are something that we bear, and when someone sees something of grave seriousness and tells the story of what they have seen so that others might know about the truth in the world, we see that they are bearing witness. There's something of weight in the words that Jesus will speak. This past celebration of D-Day, June the 6th, the 75th anniversary, my husband and I were in Europe where commemorations of that event happened all around us. And in those remembrances, I encountered the words of then-General Dwight Eisenhower to his troops as they liberated concentration camps about bearing witness. He said, get it all on record now. Get the films, get the witnesses, because somewhere down in the track of history, I won't quote it, will get up and say that this never happened. And so the soldiers who followed his orders and liberated the camps and cared for survivors and remembered the story, maybe some of you knew some of those soldiers, they had something to bear. The burden of memories and the reality of witness. How to bear the words that Jesus speaks. This past weekend at our Synod Assembly, we heard from two keynote speakers. One from Lutheran World Relief, who is responsible for getting the quilts and the kits that are made in congregations here in this country to people who need them throughout the world. Lutheran World Relief is an aid association, really, of aid agencies serving people in dire straits throughout the world. If you were in worship in this congregation on Monday, Thursday, we made personal care kits that will be distributed to those in need through Lutheran World Relief. Towels and soaps and fingernail clippers and toothbrushes, that kind of thing. Our speaker told us about how there are 68.5 million displaced people throughout the world. Our country accepts only 30,000 refugees now per year, and so most of those 68.5 million are in countries much poorer than ours. And so in the distributions of quilts and kits comes lifelines to human dignity and care. We also heard from the director of Lutheran Immigration and Refugee Service, who bore witness herself to the suffering at our own nation's southern border, of crowded detention centers, of the trauma of little children, little boys and little girls separated from their parents, and told of the ways that our church is trying to minister to these men and women and children through shelters and foster care so that every human being can be treated as a human being, as someone who, by being made in the image of God, who is, as Psalm 8 tells us today, a little lower than the angels and crowned with glory and power, every human being deserves to be treated this way. Which is why our church does this work, not because we've taken a political stance on a very complex and difficult immigration issue, but because we have a core conviction of what it means to be a human being made and loved by God. While I was listening to these stories, heavy as they were, it occurred to me what it means when Jesus says that his word is something that must be born. And it seemed to me entirely reasonable that on the night before he died, Jesus would say to his disciples that he had many things to say, but he wouldn't say them now, because I expect that that night would not have been the time or the place to explain to them that one day their movement would be called to minister in the face of enormous worldwide human suffering. In that moment, he was only asking them to attend to his suffering, to bear witness to his death, so that on Sunday morning they might be surprised with the shock and the joy and surprise of resurrection, and then to wait for the Holy Spirit that would speak to them about what would happen next. That was their task, but make no mistake, there is a clear line between that night and the passion and resurrection and us in the church now. For the things that happened on that night and the following day and the Sunday thereafter, in that death, in his cross, and in his resurrection, by those things he would give his disciples, and by that disciples I also mean us, to bear all the things that he would have to say to them. For in his cross he bore not only the suffering of his own body, but the pain and anguish of the whole world. Little children fleeing war in Syria. In his cross, his loving Father, creator of heaven and earth, God, yours and mine, revealed his solidarity with anyone who is wounded or suffering or hated and rejected. By that cross, he does speak many things. Follow me. Love your neighbor. Welcome the stranger. Stand up and speak out for those who are despised and hated, even if it costs you something. In our baptism, drenched with water in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, we are joined to that death, and we are given that sign by which the triune God is known and revealed in this world. That sign is marked on our foreheads and given to us as what? Something to bear. But with it, he also gives the seal of the promised Holy Spirit, the spirit of wisdom and understanding and counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord, the spirit that leads us into the deepest truth, which is that real life, the life that exists from eternity in God's own self, the life and love constituted by the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That life is disclosed here in sacrificing love, and bearing one another's burdens, and then living outside of ourselves. The witness of our speakers at our assembly who've been on the front lines of this worldwide crisis bore witness not only to the suffering that they have seen, but to God's liberating and creative word, a word that really does have something to say beyond fear and death, a word that says, human beings have been made only a little lower than the angels, and yet you have crowned them with glory and honor. A word that says, all families of the earth are mine. A word that desires for this entire earth well-being and peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.